Let's raise our hands one more time. Give God the glory. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy of all praise and all glory and all honor. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. And I didn't run in, but I'm that excited to be here. I could have run in. Praise God. Lord is good all the time. Several weeks ago, I had a thought for a lesson, and I told my wife about it. And I was working on it for a little while. And last week, we got the last two issues of Pentecostal Herald. And we hadn't picked them up since we've been back from our trip. And she was reading through it, and she said, "What did you say you wanted to talk about?" And I told her. And she showed me the Pentecostal Herald. There was my entire outline. It was already in there. I said, "Well, it's already been, so we'll try it again anyway." Amen. Matthew, the sixth chapter. I think we all understand the need of prayer, right? We all understand the importance of touching God, reaching out to Him. Matthew, the sixth chapter, verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, much, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven." We could all quote that. "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now we find here an outline, a guideline of how we approach God and how we go to Him in prayer. Like I said, we can all quote this. They've even put a tune to it, melody to it, and we can sing it. But it's just an outline on how we approach God and the things that we can remember to pray about as we come to Him in prayer. And I believe we can all agree that we need that. I've been asked before, "How long do you pray?" And I said, "Until I'm done." I mean, it might be 10 minutes, 15 minutes, might be an hour, but most people will pray until they're done. But there was a time. We were having a round-the-clock prayer meeting in the church, and we went to the church to pray. Everybody went to the church to pray their hour. I went at 7 o'clock, and the one that was there at 6 o'clock left, I started praying. I walked around the church and praying and singing. See, I could sing it when nobody else is around, because to a lot of people, I'm just making a noise. But to God, I'm making a joyful noise. But anyway, I prayed that hour, and about 5 minutes till 8 o'clock, my prayer hour was almost done, and the church phone rang. "Brother Cron, I can't make it. Could you fill in for me?" "Yeah, okay." So for another hour, I'm walking around the church trying to think of new things to pray about, new situations, singing different songs. About 5 minutes till 9, phone rang. "Brother Cron, I can't make it. Would you fill in for me for an hour?" So I'm walking around the church. I'm praying. I'm singing, trying to think of new things to talk about to God about. And 5 minutes till 10, the phone rings. Let me tell you, by the time that fourth hour was done, I was a spiritual dynamo. I wasn't walking around the church. I was floating 3 feet off the ground. You know, I was just that powerful. No. After the first hour and 15, 20 minutes, I was just there, doing my duty for somebody else. How many would be honest and find it's hard to pray for an hour? I think we'd all agree with that. It's hard. You're in good company. You're in good company. Mark chapter 14, verse 37. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. See, Jesus had gone down to Gethsemane to pray, took his disciples, left some of them there, took James, John, and Peter a little bit farther, said, I want you to wait with me, just watch with me for an hour. And we know what he prayed. He prayed, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. And when he went back, he found them sleeping. He findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. He went away and prayed again. Now, if it was an exact hour, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say exactly how long he prayed. He came back, found them asleep again. Woke them up. Just an hour. He went away the third time, came back, said, oh, sleep on. Sleep on, because the hour has come. Amen. The disciples had no idea what was going to happen in the next few hours. They were tired. How long they'd been up, how much work they'd done that day, I really don't know, but they were tired. You ever tried to pray when you're tired? It don't do a whole lot of good, does it? Well, at least you think it doesn't do any good. You just can't think. What am I going to say? What am I going to pray about today? And you just can't hardly put things together. And sometimes we end up feeling so guilty because we didn't pray for that hour. Or we didn't spend that amount of time in prayer that we really had wanted to as much as we'd planned. But we need to realize we're human beings. And we don't always feel the power of God when we pray. Every prayer isn't in the carpet, pounding on the carpet with tears and snot running out of your nose. Every prayer is not like that. But the important thing is to pray, to have a regular time of prayer, whether we feel we've touched God or not, whether we feel like that our prayers went through the ceiling, went all the way to the throne room or not, just having that regular time of prayer. We need to have that. Some feel that it's a duty. I'm just going to go pray because pastor said we ought to pray for 15 minutes or we ought to pray for an hour. I was supposed to come to church on Wednesday night and pray, so I guess it's my duty to go and pray. But it's not a duty. It's a privilege. We have the opportunity to talk to Almighty God. And even though sometimes we have to press through that prayer and press through our feelings and in spite of how, we pray not as a duty, but to establish a relationship. Those of you that are not married, you don't date somebody and then an hour, a week later or 2 weeks later said, oh, need to talk to her, need to talk to him. Husbands, you don't talk to your wife today and then wait 2 weeks before you say something else. There's a relationship that has to be shared back and forth. And that's the way it is with Jesus. There, we have to establish that relationship. And we come to God for a variety of reasons. We know that. We come to worship him sometimes, to confess our sins, ask forgiveness. Probably we ought to do that every day. We come to him to thank him for our blessings, to ask things for ourselves, ask things for others, what others might need. But we often pray because of the circumstances we're in. What's going on? I've lost my job. I don't have any food on the table or whatever. It's important to have already established that relationship with God so that when those times come, like the disciples, pray that you enter not into temptation. You need to pray now while everything looks good. Everything is really good as far as you're concerned, but you don't know what's going to be happening over the next few hours. You don't know what's going to be going on tomorrow. It's important that we approach God in our prayers. Jesus told of two prayers in Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. We look at that sometimes as a religious and a sinner, you know, supposedly religious, supposedly sinner. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself and said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. See, he's justifying his life. He's coming to God and saying, I'm justified. I'm okay. I'm all right just like I am. I'm glad I'm not like all of them, the adulterers, or even as this publican. So glad I'm not like, no. Justify yourself all you want. You're talking to a living God that already knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows everything about you. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, we see the difference here between pride and humility. We see a difference between a prayer that's going to get answered and one that just isn't even hardly a prayer, just a justification. How we approach God shows the condition of our heart, how we come to him. There's a power in positive praying, and that's, I was supposed to come up with a title, so I just titled it, The Power of Positive Praying. And hopefully I can explain that before this is over. But there is power in praying a positive prayer. We should never feel like we're bothering God or that he won't really listen to us because 50 years ago I did such and such. See, when we have repented, well, I don't get ahead of myself. We feel unworthy sometimes, and we doubt that God will hear us. We need to approach God in a different train of thought. Amen. We need to come to him positive that he's going to hear us, positive that he's going to answer us. Because he said, if you know he hears you, you've got your petition. If you know he hears you, you've got your petition. Paul tells us in Philippians 4 and 6, he said, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Again, we see an outline how we need to approach God. Be careful for nothing. Talk to God. Let your supplications be known to God. He already knows what we need. He already knows what we're going to pray about. But he wants us to talk to him. I know my wife wants me to talk to her, and I don't do it enough. I know that. It's horrible. I wish I could. I've got a crazy mind. Words don't come often enough to me. Amen. Yeah, I think there's some other men in here the same way. But he said, be careful for nothing. And if I have that personal relationship with him, I will be careful for nothing. I can come directly to him. Amen. And I can understand I'm talking to my father. I'm talking to my friend. I'm talking to someone that knows me, someone that cares for me, someone that loves me. Amen. And then the seventh verse, Philippians 4, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And I can understand a lot. Maybe not as much as I should. But a peace that passes all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Follow that outline. Follow that out. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Paul tells us in Hebrews, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly before the throne of grace. That's not haughtily. Don't come up like the Pharisee. I'm so glad I'm not like anybody else. There isn't anybody in this church anywhere close to being able to touch me for being spiritual. I'm so good. No. We come boldly before the throne of grace. God, Father, have mercy on me. Talk to God like you would your friend. Talk to God like you would. You know, nobody comes boldly to a place that they're not familiar with, because you don't know what to expect. There's certain areas you won't go today because you don't know what to expect when you get there. Until you get familiar with that area, I'm talking about in the city maybe, or in particular buildings, you don't know what to expect. But only those that have been there before, they have confidence in him. And they have confidence that he's going to hear and answer their prayers. And when we go regularly, we will find the throne of grace is easily accessed. When we go regularly, we may not feel good right now. We may be tired in our body, but because I was there yesterday and I was there the day before and the day before that, I'm easily accessing the throne of grace, and God is listening to me and he hears me. Amen. I may not need mercy today. I may not need a special have a special need today. I may not have any of that. But the throne of grace is accessed when desperate times arise because I prayed yesterday. I prayed the day before. And now today, God, I have a serious need. I'm in serious trouble, God. I need you right now. He's there. Because you've been there before. You can come boldly before the throne of grace now because you know what it's like. You know where it is. We don't always pray for today. If I get up this morning and there's nothing in my mind, I don't know if anybody's got any problems. I don't know if anybody that's hurting, that's sick. Everybody's got jobs. Everybody's got houses. Everybody's got food. I don't have a need today, God, so I just don't even need to talk to you today. No, I go to him and talk to him today because I don't know what tomorrow holds. Like the song says, whether sunshine or rain, I don't know what it's going to be like tomorrow. But sometimes, look at Cornelius. He prayed for how long? He prayed for days. His prayers fine, and his alms finally came up before in heaven as a monument. All those days and all those hours of prayer, Cornelius, that you have prayed are answered today. Today, salvation has come to your house. Amen. Don't give up on our family. Don't give up on our kids. Don't give up on our brothers, our sisters. Continue to pray because that day can come. That day will come if we trust God and continue to go before him. That day will come when they will see their need for God and come to him. Amen. Praise God. Well, I need guidance tomorrow, so I'm going to pray today. How long does it take to touch God in prayer? 5 minutes? Can you pray 5 minutes, and man, you're just in the electric current there? Sometimes. It really depends on how dire the circumstance is and how serious I am with God and how desperate it is that I need to touch him. Sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes an hour. James tells us, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I've only got a high school education and a little bit of trade school. So I have to look up certain words. Effectual. Effectual means producing or sufficient to produce a desired effect. So to pray an effective prayer, I've got to expect an effective answer. I can't pray and then get up and say, well, God ain't going to answer that one. I know that. Effectual, fervent, is to have intense feeling and enthusiasm for something. When we pray, our prayers should be sufficient to produce a desired effect. When we pray, we should expect the answer. When we pray, we should expect God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And depending on the situation and the circumstances, a fervent prayer can be effective quickly. Amen. Can be effective quickly. Brother McGuire has talked about needing a phone call for a job. Going to go in his bedroom and pray all day. Shut the door and the phone rings. See, already the answer was there. Effective. Even before it got to the fervent part, right? So we can pray effective and fervent prayers and touch God. When we need to pray with our eyes open on God and not on our circumstances. Hello? When we pray, we need to have our eyes on God and not the circumstances around us. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years she'd been sick, spent all of her money on doctors. She had nothing left. And she had either heard Jesus preach or she had heard about him. Because there as Jesus was passing by, she saw him. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. But the circumstances around her was totally against her. She was weak, no doubt, from 12 years of this disease. She was getting up in age. I don't know exactly how old she was, but she wasn't a kid. And the circumstances were that she was already weak to start with, and then all these bodies that were surrounding Jesus, she had to get past those. Not just the disciples. There was a crowd around Jesus. And when she might have passed through one or two, there were still more circumstances ahead of her. She had to press through some more. And eventually, her mind said, I am going to touch the hem of his garment because I know if I do that, I'm going to be healed. And she finally pressed through and touched the hem of his garment, got what she had. That was an effectual, fervent, not necessarily prayer, but it was a prayer to get to God. Blind Bartimaeus on the wayside begging. Now, he's got some circumstances that totally go against him. He's blind. He's never seen Jesus. How would he know who Jesus was? This crowd was coming by. How would he know Jesus was in that crowd? Except he heard some of them saying, oh, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. And somewhere along, he heard about Jesus. Somewhere he had heard that Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead and somehow. And he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And some real good religious folks said, shh, don't be so loud. This is Jesus. Don't shout in church. There's a visitor here that might not like that. Come on. These good old religious folks said, Bartimaeus, just be quiet. This is Jesus, man. Do you know who he is? Yeah. He heals the blinded eyes. And he cried again, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped. He was determined to get past his blindness and the religious establishment that told him to shut up and get to Jesus. And we know what happened. He received his sight. It's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man during the good times with a consistent prayer life that is effective and avails much. And it isn't the length of our prayer. Now, I'm not telling anybody don't pray long because we need to pray. Whether it's 5 minutes today and 10 minutes this afternoon and 30 minutes, whatever, we need to pray. But it's not the length of our prayer that is so important or most effective. It's not the flowery words we speak, which I have never been able to have flowery words. It's just not in me. I've heard people pray, and I wish I could pray like that. The words just flow. Wouldn't it be great to be able to pray like that? But that's not where it is. It's the confidence to believe that God's going to answer. It's the confidence that God is going to do what he said he would do. Amen. That effectual prayer produces a desired effect. Amen. Having a consistent prayer life is going to cause one to become an effectual, have an effectual prayer life that's going to affect many, not just you, but many around you. Oh, my goodness. I'll never get through. Don't wait until problems come up to pray. Don't wait until circumstances are so heavy that you can't even look up to see bottom. Have a consistent prayer life every day. Have that relationship with God before the evil times come, before the temptations come. Amen. Have that relationship. Understand that God knows what we have need of before we ask. We understand that. But it's up to us, not God, to receive the answer. I hope you understand that. It's not up to God for us to receive the answer. It's up to us to receive the answer. God's willing to give the answer, but I've got to be able to receive it. Amen. We must understand that sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is no. David understood prayer, I'm going to pass some of this up, but there are many prayers in the book of Psalms. The 23rd Psalm is a beautiful type of worship and praise and prayer. But if we could live according to the wisdom of Proverbs and pray according to the wisdom of Psalms, we'd live a successful life. We would live a godly life. But let's look at the outline Jesus gave us to use when we pray. First of all, he said, Our Father. Get things in perspective. Line it up from the beginning. We aren't talking to our next door neighbor. We're not talking to the pastor. We're not talking to the President of the United States. We're talking to Almighty God. We're talking to the Creator of the universe, amen, the Father of all creation. We're only human, and we as humans are reaching out to Him who created all things. We're reaching out to Him that has all power and all wisdom and all authority and all glory. We're reaching out to a God that is concerned with this little old fleshly body that I live in today. With all the billions of people all over the world, He's concerned with me. And I'm reaching out to Him who created all things. Amen. And we need to approach our Father knowing He loves us, knowing He cares about us, knowing He wants to supply all of our needs. Amen. Start by worshiping Him, our Father. Who, number two, who art in heaven? We dwell on the earth, in case y'all didn't know. We live on the earth. This is not heaven, as some religious sects believe. This is not heaven. Our earthly bodies cannot comprehend the heavenly. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Amen. So we need to humble ourselves before Him, knowing we're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Our Father, which is in heaven. I don't have any possibility of touching heaven. I have, because I'm flesh. But when we pray and we come to Him with that attitude, we can do nothing without Him. We live in a sinful world that's full of unrighteousness and ungodliness, but He is a righteous and holy God. That's where He lives. He lives in righteousness and holiness. Amen. And we can never be on the same plane with Him. So we don't put ourselves up there. We're here. And God, You're there. And we have the opportunity to touch Him. Number three, hallowed be Thy name. Hallowed means to make holy. Again, I had to look some of these up. I think I know what they mean. I like to look them up. To make holy. To consecrate. To greatly revere or respect. We could spend a lot of time in prayer just in that point right there. Hallowed be Thy name. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Nissi. But there's so many names that God is known by, His attributes that we talked about some time ago. The attributes of God, it's all found in that one name, Jesus. When I call upon the name of Jesus, heaven and earth listens. Well, at least heaven does. And the devil would like to, but he needs to stay out of it. Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, Jesus said. When we call on that name, we're accessing all power of heaven and earth. We're accessing every power, the glory, the omniscience of God. When we praise and hallow His name, we're accessing all that power. So every prayer should probably begin with praise, but at least it should include praise. Glorifying His name. Amen. With praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Psalm 100 and verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. When we begin our prayer with worship and praise, it becomes His joy to give us the kingdom. It becomes His joy and His pleasure to give us the things that we have need of. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Number four, Thy kingdom come. Amen. When many think about the kingdom of God, they think of, you know, streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. That's the way a lot of people think about the kingdom of God. But let's see what Jesus told Nicodemus. You see, Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin, a very powerful religious body in that time. And Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "We know you're from God. We know that." And Jesus said this in John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Again, walls of jasper, streets of gold, gates of pearl. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Unlike many of the kingdoms throughout the ages that have risen and fallen, the kingdom of God is within. It's in here. Forget for a moment the walls of jasper, streets of gold, gates of pearl. Amen. The disciples lived during the reign of the Roman Empire, and they thought Jesus was going to set up his earthly kingdom during their lifetime. That's what their impression was. That's what they thought was going to happen. They didn't understand that the kingdom of God is not an earthly kingdom. Never has been intended to be. Romans 14 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." You want thy kingdom come? I need it right here. Thy kingdom come. When I pray thy kingdom come, I'm telling you today, I'm praying for his righteousness and for his peace and for his spirit to refill me. Thy kingdom come, Lord, that peace, that righteousness. My righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. I cannot approach God. I have got to have his righteousness. I've got to have his peace. I want the kingdom of God in me, praise God. I want to live in the kingdom of God, and I want the kingdom of God to live in me. That's the kingdom of God. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, there's nothing in life that is any more exciting than receiving the Holy Ghost. Anyone that's ever received the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, there's nothing in life a greater experience could ever happen than to receive the Holy Ghost. The second one is likened to it, to see someone else receive the Holy Ghost. Thy kingdom come. God, add souls to the church. Add souls to the kingdom of God. Amen. Add many souls to the kingdom of God. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, let's pray, Lord, add souls to the kingdom of God. Help us to reach out to the lost. Help us to reach those that are desiring to see you, that desire the truth, God. Help us to reach them so that we can bring them to the house of God. Number five, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Israel had been taken into captivity. And they was wondering about God. You know, you ever wonder about God? God, what's going on here? Jeremiah 29 and 11, this is God saying, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Remember, we're going to have that prayer, to receive an expected end. Israel had been taken into captivity, but that was in God's plan. He needed to teach Israel some things, and his will was for them to live in Babylon for 70 years. That was his will. Thy will be done. Whew. Hallelujah to Jesus. He could have delivered them at any time during those 70 years, but his answer was not yet. Sometimes when we pray, that answer is not yet. Just hold on and trust that you're in the will of God. We wonder sometimes how what we're going through could ever possibly be the will of God. I'm not the only one, right? God, how could this be your will? How could... I've heard people say that, well, if there was a real God, he wouldn't let that happen. He wouldn't allow that to happen. But there's a new song out. Anybody willing to admit you've heard of the country group Lady Antebellum? Yeah, I think most of us have. Well, the female lead singer got together with her sister and her mom and dad, and they put together an album. She had a little girl, and then she was going to have another baby. Well, she had a very bad, what do you call it when you lose a baby? Miscarriage. Had a very bad miscarriage. And she was very disturbed. She had a bad problem. And she wrote this song. And it's titled, "Thy Will Be Done." And this is the first verse. "I'm so confused." You ever been there? "I'm so confused. I know I heard you loud and clear. So I followed through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't want to think I may never understand that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I've got is hurt. And these four words, thy will be done." Whew. That's powerful. That's powerful. It's got a great tune to it if you ever get the opportunity to listen to it. It's not an easy thing to turn our life over to anyone. It's not an easy thing to give up total control of our lives to anyone. And we as humans feel we need to be in control at all times. I've got to know. I can't have to wonder what's going to happen. I have to be in total control. Amen. We're all that way. We want to know. We want to understand everything in our lives. We want to know. And it's hard to understand heartache. It's hard to understand pain. It's hard to understand loss. How can God let that happen? How can that be the will of God? James 1 and 2, quickly. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Wow. James writing to the church, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. I've got the second verse of that, but I've got to go on. Number 6, give us this day our daily bread. Most of us really don't need to pray that prayer. Most of us really don't need to pray that prayer. If we look at it as strictly bread, I mean, most of us have houses, cars, table, food. Most of us have all that job, but we do need more of His Word. We cannot get enough of His Word. We need more of His Spirit. We need more of His peace. We need more of His comfort. And He knows all that we have need before we ask. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, God, give us those things that are necessary for me today. What is it that I need today, God? Do I need comfort? Do I need peace? Do I need protection as I'm driving down the road? God, give us this day whatever it is that I am in need of today. You clothe the birds of the field. You protect them. You take care of them. You're certainly going to take care of me. Amen. I'm going to go on. I'm running out of time. Number 7, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, my goodness. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Everything we've ever done is not only forgiven, but remitted. He said, cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us. Everything we've ever done, He died on Calvary that I might have that opportunity to have my sins remitted. Amen. Amen. Jesus expects us to forgive one another the same way. Forgive us our debts as we forgive them. He said in Matthew 6:14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not man their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Too often we carry anger and resentment and bitterness and grudges against somebody because of some hurt or offense. And we miss so many blessings that God had in store for us because sin stands in the way. Sin stands in the door. I haven't forgiven. I can't be forgiven. A spirit of unforgiveness separates us from God. Jesus died that I could have my sins forgiven. Now I need to die. I hope I can explain what I must die out to anger. I must die out to bitterness. I must die out to hurts and offenses that has happened in the past in order to forgive. I've got to die. Forgive us as we forgive. Lead us not into temptation. I think that's pretty explains itself. Lead us not into temptation. There are temptations all around us, folks. There are temptations. I don't care what weakness you have in your life. There is a temptation that will lead you into that if you're not careful. Let no man, James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. I can't blame anybody else if I falter, if I fail. I can't blame anybody but me. Because I've been drawn away my own from the time of Eve all the way till Jesus comes. It's going to be the same thing. Amen. And his greatest desire is to get the devil is to get you and I to fall and give in to our fleshly desires. So we pray, lead us away from temptation. Deliver us from evil. And we've got more evil in this generation that, that we, oh my goodness. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We began our prayer with praise and we end our prayer in worship. The kingdom, the power, and the glory, it's all his. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. Amen. Thy kingdom through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we are born into that kingdom. Now we come become part of, and we have access to the power. And we have access to his glory. Amen. God bless you. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. Let's stand. Can we just raise our hands for a minute and thank him for his love?